Frequency Matters, the RF and Microwave Update Series. I'm Pat Hindle, and I'm here with my co-host, Gary LaRude. In this episode, we're going to take a look at our March test and measurement issue at Mobile World Congress. The cover feature tackles a very important challenge left in 5G, and that's over-the-air testing. So we went out to 9 leading companies in the industry, and we got their input about the different methods of OTA testing, the pros and cons, and we also covered their solutions that are being offered to the market today.
That's a good compendium.
Thanks. What other things did we have for the technical feature?
So continuing on the test and measurement theme, we have an editorial review board approved article. This one covers the analytic calculations for TRL calibration. And even though most vector network analyzers today, probably all vector network analyzers today, do that automatically, it's still good to know the theory behind it. We then have an article from E2V on high-speed data converters, how that's enabling RF sampling, and how that's really changing the architecture of microwave receivers and transmitters. Our third article is from Microharmonix, a small company in Virginia. They're doing a lot of interesting work in Faraday rotation isolators. And here we're talking high frequency, like 100 to 500 gigahertz. So it's very precise, and they've got a great article describing that technology. And then wrapping things up, we spend a lot of time talking about Doherty power amplifiers wireless infrastructure. Well, Rodion Schwartz has contributed a nice article on the latest generation Doherty, basically a digital Doherty. And one of the things I like about this article is they do a taxonomy of all the different techniques for power amplifier improving efficiency and linearity. So as always, it's a great lineup, very interesting reading. So how about product features?
We had one big product feature, is a big introduction at Mobile World Congress by Anritsu, and that's our Fieldmaster Pro. That's a RF handheld spectrum analyzer, and now has continuous frequency coverage to 54 gigahertz, and can do real-time spectrum analysis in up to 100 megahertz of bandwidth. So very capable unit, comes in 7 different models, very rugged. They threw it down on the ground while we were there, and it still works fine. We did a demo video too, so that's on our website.
Yeah, I remember seeing that at Mobile World Congress last week.
Yeah, it has some industry-leading performance specs too. It has Dannel at better than minus 160 dBm, and third-order intercept of typically about plus 20 dBm, So good specs on it.
Yeah.
How about tech briefs?
Well, we have 3 tech briefs, one from NARDA Safety Test Solutions. This is an automatic direction finding antenna. RemCom has an update to their XF DTD 3D EM simulation software. So we've covered that. And then we have a Comtech PST 100 watt, 6 to 18 gigahertz GaN power amplifier. And I always have to kind of pinch myself when I say that, because I remember what really got GaAs MMIC development started at Texas Instruments in the early 1980s was the goal to get 1 watt, 6 to 18 gigahertz.
Amazing how far we've come.
Really, it is.
So we recently returned from Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. And in our last episode, we covered announcements from Keysight, Rodion Schwartz, Xilinx, Qualcomm, and Qorvo.
Right.
So I thought in this episode we'd talk about some of the interesting RF technologies that we stumbled across there that people may not have heard of. So we were at the Nokia and the Ericsson briefings, and the Ericsson CEO said a couple very interesting things. One was they plan on using spectrum sharing. So they're going to have the ability to do both 4G and 5G signals at the same time, which is an interesting concept.
Yeah.
And also his MicroStripes antenna thing was a very interesting project that they're working on. So I have a sample of it right here. They would be printing very low cost antennas directly on a thin plastic film. And these would be widely deployed by the thousands in busy areas like airports or malls. And they showed how they can be put under the carpet or behind a wallpaper. So they can just be integrated into the architecture. And they would have antennas of various frequencies and be connected by an Ethernet line through this strip and be widely deployed. So a very interesting concept.
And I could probably wear one.
Wearables.
Yeah.
And then also Nokia, they use that media event as a chance to introduce their FastMile Gateway product. So this is a self-install residential unit that can operate initially at the 3.5 gigahertz 5G band, but it will offer 4G, 5G, and Wi-Fi service, all optimized for the residential service. And it'll offer up to 1 gigabit per second capacity. So that's very good. And it's self-install, it has antennas all the way around it. So it just dynamically adjusts to where the best signal strength is coming from. So you can just plug it in and go.
That's quite impressive.
It was very impressive. And you can see I'm doing my best Vanna White imitation in the photo here.
Yeah, exactly.
And finally, I met with Corning, and they've developed a very interesting RF substrate glass process. So they have glass through vias, and they can realize integrated passive structures. And it's very high Q, so you can get high performance integrated passive devices. And they first plan on doing filters for 5G, but initially that's what they would deploy, and then they might evolve into more highly integrated module level solutions. So something to look out for in the future.
Interesting.
How about you?
Well, there were a number of things that I saw, as well as you. One of the things that struck me, though, is this whole work going on in fixed wireless access at millimeter wave. There are many competing approaches and development activities going on, from antenna to RFIC to front-end module to complete radio systems. And one of the things that struck me are the number of small, either small companies or startups that are playing in this space, as opposed to the big companies. So we know names like Anoki Wave, Gap Waves, Movandi, Pivotal Comware, Sivers IMA, and then some big names like Intel, and they're all playing in this space. And I think we have the impression, certainly being in the US, that because Verizon and AT&T are deploying millimeter wave, that it's sort of very straightforward and going forward. But I heard a lot of caution at Mobile World Congress about there are going to be issues that have to be solved, particularly with non-line of sight and getting the millimeter wave signal through windows and walls. And so it's interesting that companies like Movandi are working on repeater solutions to try to solve that problem, and they see that as a big market area beyond just the normal access point.
Yeah, that struck me as a very interesting application that I hadn't thought of.
Yeah, exactly. Then we did spend some time with NEC in their booth talking about some of their R&D activities. And they're working a lot in D-band from 110 to 170 gigahertz, developing MMICs and modules to support D-band radios. And you could see these being deployed, say, in a large city like Tokyo, being used for backhaul and front haul. One of the interesting things they're also working on is this orbital angular momentum to try to increase the data capacity. And right before the end of the year, they announced that they had gotten 7.4 gigabit per second through using that technology at E-band. Well, now they're trying to extend it up to D-band as well. And then we had some time with Kumu Networks, and they're doing some really interference cancellation technology, which can be applied to the typical duplex type radio, where you have different transmit receive bands and a guard band. And by using their technology, the sensitivity of the guard band and the sensitivity to filtering isn't as key. But even more interesting is they can do full duplex radios where you can be transmitting and receiving at the same time. So it'll be interesting to see how that gets deployed. So as last year, Mobile World Congress was talking about the 5G specs being ratified, this year it's all about deployment. We saw a number of handsets being announced. So it'll be interesting in 2019 to see actually how it starts to gain ground.
We're off and running.
We're off and running. So that wraps up this episode, but before we end, I do want to remind you that our EDICON China show is coming up April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and registration is open, so please register at ediconchina.com. We want to thank you for watching, and we want to thank our sponsor for making this episode possible, MACOM. They have a number of very interesting initiatives going on in the optical networking, 5G, and aerospace and defense markets. So if you play in any of those areas, please check them out. As they say, they're your partner from RF to light. Until next time.